Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. It's good to have each of you here with us this morning, and just trust you've been refreshed in the presence of the Lord and just ready to receive everything God has for you this morning. Praise God. You know that word this morning, too, just about He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. It's a good word. It's actually a word that's going to kind of flow, too, into our message this morning, I feel, as well. Just some things, you can almost call it the sameness of God. That's a very, very comforting thought. No variableness, not even a shadow of turning in Him. We're going to go ahead, though, and start out with a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy. Actually, there'll be several passages. I'll just kind of do them back to back. I think you'll pick up on the theme here before too long. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Okay, 2 Timothy 3. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. And finally, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge everything, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearance and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready, in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." Well, as we read through these various passages of Scripture, and these are both found in Timothy, these were like two of the last letters that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And kind of in his parting words to this young minister, Timothy, who is the pastor at Ephesus, he had some strong admonitions regarding the last days and things that were going to happen, things to look out for. You know, he says here, you know, in 1 Timothy 4, you know, that the, 1 Timothy 4, that the Spirit expressly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. We're seeing a situation here where people are going to be under a heavy influence of deception. You could almost feel it in the air, this presence of deception. And the Bible says, you know, that the day of the Lord is something that does not come as a thief in the night for us. We're children of the day. In other words, we can see it coming from afar off. As deception comes into the earth, as children of the light, you can see it coming. You can actually watch it unfold. Why? It's not because you're so smart. It's because you have the Holy Spirit in you. There's a reason you can discern truth and error, and you can see evil, and you can see agendas, because you got it, the Holy Spirit. You know, you're a child of God. We've got the warnings from Scripture, but we also have the Holy Spirit in us who confirms these things. And as we continue to see here, 2 Timothy says, in these last days, perilous times will come. That kind of laundry list of really selfishness and really just an all-out kind of just the selfishness, really. And you can go through that list and see it, and again, kind of look at things that have been there all along for a long time. But you see, in the last days, these things are going to get ratcheted up. They're going to come in greater measure. All right. But finally, what does the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? He says, "Preach the word. Preach the word." It is very tempting for us, and for even preachers, as we look at the last days and perilous times and things to come, to speculate, to rationalize, to reason, to run the math in our heads, and think about how things could happen, how things could play out. And if we're not careful, we can start preaching speculation instead of preaching the word. Speculations change. The word doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And probably one of the biggest questions I get asked as a preacher, as a pastor, I would say in the last year or so, have been regarding the last days. We all read the same, well, we don't read newspapers hardly anymore, but we look at the internet articles and watch television and different things like that. We get the same news, and we see things that are going on. We see things that are lining up with Scripture. We see end time stuff getting closer and closer. And so this morning, I just want to take a little time and talk about faith for the last days, okay? Very specifically, faith for the last days. Now, when we're talking about the last days, I'm not going to get into a whole big discussion about end time prophecy and the last days and how everything's going to unfold. We're doing that right now on Wednesday night. We're really taking some time and walking through that whole thing. You know, it's great. It's blessed. It's a glorious hope. I just couldn't do it justice in a few minutes right now. And people have different views about the last days and what you might call the tribulation period. And are we going through the tribulation period? Are we not going through the tribulation? I'm really not here to address all that, per se. I'm really here to address the last days as it relates to what the Apostle Paul is talking about. In last days, perilous times will come. Because let me say this, whether you believe we're going through the tribulation period or not, we are all going through, in part, and continuing so, going through the perilous times of the last days, okay? Let me just make a quick little distinction. A lot of times we think of perilous times, we think of satanic persecution, which absolutely is in the world today. It's been in the world since Christianity started. Satan has been going about as a roaring lion, trying to distract Christians and throw them off track and thwart the plan of God in the earth. That's nothing new there. People losing their lives for Christ, we can just see it even more in the news today. There's nothing new here in terms of satanic persecution. That's been going on. There is a time, though, called the tribulation period, where it's not just about satanic persecution. It's about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is different than satanic persecution. The wrath of God comes from God, all right? The Bible talks there is a day of wrath coming. The Scripture clearly says that we have not been appointed to wrath, that He's delivered us from the wrath to come. So when it comes to my end times teaching, I don't see the church going through the period of the wrath of God. It doesn't make sense in that sense. People are going to get saved. There's a clear instruction set in the New Testament about how that's going to happen, about how it's going to unfold. Again, I'm not going to get into the total, nth degree of it, but as I'm talking about last days, I'm not really talking about the bowls of wrath that are poured out from heaven, from God to the earth. I'm talking about satanic persecution that's already in the earth, that we've been dealing with for 2,000 years as Christians, all right? That's going to continue to get ratcheted up, and yes, we'll be a big player in the tribulation period too, all right? But It's something that we have been dealing with. It's something that we will increasingly deal with. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, in the latter days, he's saying in the last days, perilous times will come. In latter times, there's going to be a departing from the faith. Why will there be a departing from the faith? There's going to be perilous times. There's going to be people, this world is going to get darker and darker and darker. But Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. There's been these two kingdoms in the earth all along, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son, and the lines have been kind of blurred, but those lines are going to get more distinct in the end times. Darker is going to seem darker, darker, and lighter is going to get lighter, lighter. and all of a sudden the gray is going to start to go away, and people are going to have to start making some decisions and choices, and the Holy Spirit's going to make some things really clear. You know, and that's where, ultimately, as we're here, as we're in these situations, we need to know, especially as believers, how to live in these last days, to have faith in the last days. Perilous times are coming. Perilous times, in a sense, are here in a lot of parts of the world. We just don't happen to be in those parts of the world. There are a lot of parts we need to be praying for our missionaries across the earth. We need to be praying for people, just even for the evangelism of the gospel, to go forth in certain parts of the earth. Because those perilous times are already here in parts, and there are perilous times coming here, you know, that'll be a part of the last days and different things like that. And so a lot of times, like I said, when we begin to think about this, we start to run the math, we start to speculate. But what did Paul say to Timothy? He said, preach the word. Be ready in season, for the time will come. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the end times, we preach the word. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've heard a lot of stuff, okay, about the end times. I've heard a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of teaching. I've heard a lot of speculating. Maybe you have watched some of the videos you've watched and different things like that. But ultimately, what does it come back to? Because you can rationalize in your mind, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, yeah, well, and that even has a good principle. And that sounds really good. What does the word say? What does the word say? What does the Bible say? At the end of the day, it's not speculating and slapping a spiritual principle on it to justify it. It's going to be, what does rightly divided truth say about how we are to live? And as your pastor, that's my heart this morning. To just take a little time this morning, you know, you're not going to exhaust it, but I'm going to kind of get you thinking in some areas regarding the last days. And I can tell you one thing with the Lord, there's no fear in Him. You will never see in the Scripture where He admonishes you to be afraid. He says perilous times will come, but you are not admonished to be afraid of those things to come. We don't have to be afraid of the things that are coming upon the earth. All right? There are no scriptural admonitions to fear, to be full of fear and worry and anxiety. In fact, again, we're going to walk through the Word of God, and we're going to see what God has to say about faith for the last days. First of all, provision faith. I think this is probably the number one question I get asked about. You know, and it's a good question, because we know and we can see, just in connection with the world that we live in, the economy and the economic system is in turmoil, and there's no doubt, you can even read in the prophetic scriptures that, I mean, buying and selling is going to be attached to what you believe about faith. There's going to be such a control in the earth that, you know, it's going to affect and influence. There's going to be control over the financial system, and we just see the stage getting set for that. And so there's just a natural fear and tendency, so that when that time happens that I can't buy or sell, then, again, how am I going to do it? How am I going to survive? How am I going to live? And I totally get it, totally understand the reasoning. Again, from an eschatology, end time standpoint, point of view, I don't believe the church will be here during that time. But even if the church is here during that time, what I'm about to preach here this morning applies, okay? So I'll let you know that. And great people can disagree about what you believe about the end times and the rapture and things like that, okay? So I'll let you know I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church for a lot of reasons. And so I don't believe that some of this stuff that people worry about, I mean, there are people that believe you're going to be going through the fullness of the tribulation, and that's why there's some fear along those lines, or concern, I'll say. But that being said, whether we go through the tribulation or not, this word will still apply, okay? Praise God. Provision faith. Faith for the end times. What did Jesus say? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is probably not the first time you've heard this scripture. Maybe it is. If it is, praise God. It's a good word. Here's my question. Is this a pre-end times scripture? Or would this same scripture work during the end times? Will we still be singing, great is thy faithfulness, all I have needed thy hand has provided? Could you still sing that song through the end times? Or do we have a different set of rules for the end times? Do we distinguish scripture as pre-end time scripture and then, you know, end time scripture? Yeah, there was a time when we could consider the lilies, but these are the last days. I'm going from a God dependency to a self-preservation. I am worried about tomorrow. I can't afford to be looking at lilies right now. I got bombs flying in the air. We're preaching the word. You started this whole thing by faith. You're walking by faith now, and you're going to end walking by faith. It's faith from the beginning to the end. It's not that I don't have the intelligence to understand and speculate, and not even understand the importance of responsibility and stewardship and all these good sounding principles, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to you trusting God. Is God's compassion and care restricted? Does it still work in the hardest of times? I love the scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm persuaded death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess that'll still work then. Praise God. We're preaching the word this morning. I'm not preaching speculation. I'm not preaching stewardship principles on top of speculation. I'm preaching the word. God really wants your heart to be trusting in him. He does. Dark times coming upon the earth? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Does that mean that we can't prepare, that we can't do anything? You can prepare, you can do some things as God leads you to prepare and do things. There are things where I remember I follow Kenneth Hagin. I remember the Lord, he said, the Lord woke him up. He said, there's a recession coming and da-da-da-da years, begin to prepare for it. Yeah. God will give you some specific directions. God gave Joseph a dream that he told, gave Pharaoh the dream. He interpreted it about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, hey, if you get a word from the Lord, God showing you something specifically, by all means, do it. That's apples and oranges. Do you understand? That's a whole different thing than me out of fear trying to get a great big, you know what, I'm looking for a parable. And if somebody out there can find it, it's in Luke somewhere. It's about a person who built up his storehouses. They overflowed, so he's going to build bigger storehouses. And I think it's there in Luke. If you get it, if you find it, shout it out. I feel like it was quickened, and I know I'm close. You know how that is. But so if you know it or find it, you don't have to, you know, be distracted by it. But I just, if you know it, feel free anytime, shout it out. When you begin to look at what Jesus said about storing up, is Jesus about storing up stuff on earth right now? Is that his heart? Was that his command, his mission, the storing up? No, he really wasn't all about that. In fact, God can get jealous about your storing up. He can actually get jealous about that. He wants your heart connected to him. He doesn't want your heart connected to your pantry. You go, oh, that's not a good place to be. I'm sorry. Luke 12, thank you. Luke 12, 13? Thank you. All right. Dave found it. All right, good job, Dave. There it is. Luke 12, 13. I don't have it up here, but the parable of the rich fool. Then one of the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Let me see. Oh, you know, I'm going to go down a little bit further. Let's go to 16, yeah. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no room to store all my crops?' So he said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up. Woohoo! For many years. Hallelujah. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry.'" Ha. Don't have to walk by faith anymore. "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Okay? The principle of this parable, the heart of it right here, it's not about being rich, poor. It's about this. It's about what he said. Soul. Soul. Pray. Yeah, you have many goods. Take your ease. I'm just going to say, God gives you a word to do something. Like I said, man, you got a word from the Lord. Do this. I'm showing you something. You know, if a man can see evil coming and he can prepare for it and God shows him what to do, man, do it. That's awesome. That's a great principle. All right? But I'm not doing what I'm doing to hook my soul up to my pantry so I can do this. God wants you looking to him. You see, he knows. What is it, verse 32? "For all these things the Gentiles seek." In other words, he's saying you're thinking like a Gentile. "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." He knows you have need of all these things now. He'll know that you have need of all these things then. "And as you seek first the kingdom of God now, he'll add them to you now. And as you seek first the kingdom of God then, regardless of what the context of your end times is, he'll still add them to you then." You want... your faith better be bigger than your pantry. Your faith in his providing hand. How can we prepare for the last days? Big words. There needs to be a good faith preparation. Build up your faith in his providing hand. "Lord, I believe you. I believe in your provision. I've proved you o'er and o'er. Praise God. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness." That'll be your song. Not "great is my pantry." "Great is your faithfulness." I know. I don't have anything to sell this morning, by the way. Surprise, surprise. I'm your pastor, right? So I might talk to you a little different than the cable preacher will. Not that there aren't ministries and things about end times that are good and principles and things you can take away, but I'm just saying. This is my job. This is my responsibility. Talk like this. And boy, there's nothing more heartbreaking when you see people afraid with the greater one living on the inside of them, with the blessed hope out in front of them, with the Savior. I mean, our witness in this earth is that we're not afraid, right? If I'm, you know, and you know what's interesting? I had this one little, you guys ever see the old Twilight Zone? I'm talking about the old 60s black and white Twilight Zones. That's the one. There was an episode that I'll never forget. It's called The Shelter. And these, you know, they're just having this party. There's this doctor, a retired doctor. I don't know if it's like a retirement party or whatever, but they're all sitting around the table. It's a doctor and his wife and his son. It's a little bit of, you know, maybe a 12, 13-year-old son or something like that. Or they might have just been celebrating a birthday. I can't remember what it was exactly, but they were celebrating. And they had all their neighbors over. And it was just this fun, festive time, and they're just all so excited and just recounting the good doctor and all the good things that he's done for them through the years. And, you know, one thing that they were just jabbing him a little bit about was the fact that he had this bomb shelter in his basement. He'd be up all night hammering on the bomb shelter. You know, so, but it was kind of a joke, and they loved him anyway. They kind of put up with it, and it's one of those things. And right in the middle of their party, the radio breaks in. You know, their son runs in and said, there's a message on the radio. And so they all gather around the radio, and they listen to it, and it said, you know, it's like this government official sounding. It has been spotted. There are three unknown alien objects in the air. We have not determined anything. We've not been able to make contact with them. We strongly recommend you take your shelter immediately. Go to a safe place. If you don't have a shelter, go to a basement. Da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, that was it. And all of a sudden, they turned off the radio and everybody just scattered. Of course, the good doctor and his family went to their shelter down there, which had food, provisions, I mean, they were set, you know, for a long time. And everybody else scattered to their basements at home. And pretty soon, as they begin to hear more radio reports about the danger of, you know, atomic debris and different things that could happen, pretty soon, you know, one of the neighbors came over and said, hey, could you let me into your shelter? You know, there, and he said, I can't. I've just got enough provisions in here and, you know, just for my family. And he said, I can bring provisions. We can bring all that. He said, yeah, but I only got enough oxygen in here. Can you bring oxygen? And he goes, well, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I wish there was something I can do, but, you know, I've done everything that I could do. And then all of a sudden, another one of the families came with their kids. And you've seen these little kids with them, too. I mean, you're seeing the future. And it pulls at your heartstrings. And another family comes in. There's like three families there. And there's one of the families, this guy is probably Hispanic, I would say. And all of a sudden, he starts, you know, coming up with an idea. Maybe he'll take one of our families. And all of a sudden, one of the guys there, you know, gets on him regarding his background. And he starts saying, you come over from this your country and you think you can start running things. Whoa, you know, where did all that come from? And then pretty soon there's another fight over, what are we going to do? Can we batter down the door? What are we going to do? And they're fighting amongst themselves. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets an idea to batter down the door. And again, that kind of Hispanic guy kind of has a suggestion. And that same guy just hauls off and socks him. Right in the face, and then they just start saying, you know, be quiet. Your idea isn't any good. And then all of a sudden, what are we going to do? We got to figure out, you know, is there maybe we can get our own shelter? No, the only way, he said, well, if he's not going to let us in, we're going to go in. So they do finally get the battering ram. They're going back and forth, and they're just battering down the door. And the door is just starting to. You could see that it's just giving in. And this family, this doctor and his family. His wife and son are just like horrified as they're seeing that door getting pounded in. And all of a sudden they break through the door. And as they're coming through the door, you know, you got like four of these guys and the families behind them as they're coming in. All of a sudden, you know, the radio's going on in the fallout shelter. All of a sudden, we break this important news. We found out that the unidentified flying objects were further identified. It is safe. You have no problems. Everybody go back to their home. And kind of the end of the deal, you know, the neighbors were going, oh, boy, you know, the guy that had punched the guy and said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it was a crazy time. We were just, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those deals. It just happened. And, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything. I just, and then they're all looking at, you know, the doctor and say, oh, you know, doctor, we're so, you know, we are going to, don't worry about this. We will pay for all the damages. And the doctor just looked at him and he said, I wonder if you really can pay for all the damages. There's damages that were done beyond the physical door. There is something that came up. These are people that started out just partying, lifelong friends in their neighborhood, and you see something like that going, all of a sudden you get the revelation that, wow, you know, it's really true what Jesus said. When you store up things down here, people will break through and steal. If you're on a block and you got all the food and somebody doesn't have any food and their children are starving to death, it'll be amazing what starving people will do that won't do in church on a Sunday morning or won't do in your concourse of a day, especially people who don't even know God. So the answer is not ultimately going to be in, it's not a competitive battle with this world for resources and self-preservance for the last days. That's not our focus. That's not going to be a battle. Even if you win the battle of resources and you're in there, you've got another battle on your hands. You might be back to the pantry with gun in hand. That's not our witness in this earth. That's not how people are going to come to Christ. But you can see the speculation. You can see the things that are going on. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what Jesus admonished us? Do we see those warnings and threats in Jesus? We're going to live by faith, aren't we? Is that weak and irresponsible? No. It's the most courageous thing you can do. Again, God shows you some specific things to do to prepare as things and events. That's great. But you do it because he's showing you to do stuff, right? You don't do it because somebody's putting a guilt trip on you as a non-caring, unprepared, poor steward. Boy, I guess I better buy the packets then, or else I'm a non-caring, unprepared. No, you're not led by that. You're led by the Spirit of God. And you love people. You know, Jesus told Philip, he said, Philip, let's go ahead and feed all these people. 5,000 people. We can't, there's no way we can feed all these people. Jesus said, Scripture said he knew what he was going to do. We serve a God who can multiply food. We serve a God who can do amazing things. We're not irresponsible. We responsibly walk by faith, and we do what the Lord tells us to do. Whether it's today in 2015, or if there are bombs going off in 2020, I'm going to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he's going to still be adding to me those things that I need. And he gave me all those admonitions. When you go back and look at it, you know, again, therefore I say, verse 25, do not worry. Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, therefore do not worry. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Can't get any more explicit than that. I can be led by the Spirit of God about tomorrow, but I'm not going to be led by worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to be led by somebody's speculation and painting some bad picture. That might be bad for them if you don't know God. Yeah, it could be a pretty dark place. Thank God I know God. Thank God I've got a faithful provider. Great is his faithfulness. I'm preaching you the word in the last days. I'm preaching you what Jesus has said. I'm not slapping principles on top of speculation. This is the word. At the end of the day, you are going to walk by faith. You're going to live by faith. You will never get to the place where you can say, soul, the pantry's full. God's jealous of that. He doesn't mind you having a full pantry. He doesn't mind you having a full pantry to be able to give to other people and bless other people. That's great. But your trust better be in him. Your heart better be looking, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that everything could go in a moment. That's what happened to this guy. His trust in his heart. Our trust, our heart needs to be in the Lord. This is not a pre-end time scripture that passes away once the end time starts. And now we play, this is the word of God. Jesus said it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for this to pass away. This will work in the end times. This will work in your life. Do you know how you're going to survive the end times? The same way you're surviving now. The same way you're getting through your checkbook and your budget and your month and trusting and believing God now. That's the best preparation you got for the perilous times to come. And God, yes, he'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll give you wisdom. He might tell you to store up. He might tell you to do some things strategically to help, to do different things. That's not a problem, but make sure it's God showing you to do some things. And when he does it, you're doing it in obedience to him. In other words, God isn't jealous of that, you know, as far as my faith is in my pantry. No, if God tells you to do some things, I'm following God, I'm doing what he's showing me to do, but my heart is still seeking first the kingdom of God. See, it's just it's a totally different concept. So if you hear people saying, yeah, I'm doing some things, I'm starting some, don't judge them. Don't judge them as being faithless and unbelieving. No, if God's dealing with somebody to do some things by the Spirit, you know, for reasons and purposes that they've got in their heart, you know, that it's God and they sense that, don't judge, all right? If somebody's not storing up and doing a bunch of stuff, don't judge, right? Everybody needs to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And walking in faith and walking in love. These are the kind of things, subtle things, that the enemy just loves to try to divide the body over. Don't let it divide you. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to walk by faith in your Lord Jesus. I love this scripture too, talking about, you know, end time scriptures. Here's another great one. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, that would include end times, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not, oh, I'm sorry, I'm. You know what, I did, all right, I got that. See, I was thinking of that verse, and that's from the other thing that we looked at before. Ignore verse 21. Sorry. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So verse 21. But what is he saying? He's able to make all grace abound to you, always having all sufficiency. Will that promise work in the end times? Will you be giving in the end times? Yeah. In fact, James, you see the admonition in James 5 about, you know, you've heaped up treasures for yourselves in the last days. He's not complimenting them. You're going to be giving in the last days. In fact, that's going to be one of the big things. Man, giving in the last days. What a different way to think about the last days. Instead of a self-preservation, instead of going from trusting God to hoarder mentality, I'm not going to be a hoarder. Don't have to be a hoarder. I'm going to be a giver in the last days. Boy, how about that for a 180? Giving, giving, and then abounding in supply. No fear. You're just led by the Spirit. Nobody owns you. Nobody controls you. Your Lord Jesus loves you, and he's leading you and guiding you, and you have the freedom at Door of Life Christian Church to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. God leads you to store up things and do things. You do it. Be sure, just do it by the direction of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be judged here. If you don't feel any leading present to have to store up, don't. The thing that needs to be constant is that you're looking unto Jesus, that your heart's on him. Your soul is not safe in a pantry. Your soul is safe in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As long as you're doing that, he's going to add those things to you. That'll never pass away. Famine, distress, tribulation, that can't ever, these things can't stop those principles from working. So we're not afraid of these things as it relates to the God's love and compassion and his faithfulness to know what we have need of and to meet our needs and to continually cause those things to abound toward us. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and stop here. It's really kind of a three-parter, but I just felt like, you know, this morning as we're going, just wanted to take maybe some extra time on the provision side, and we'll get to the other stuff later. But, you know, faith for the last days, that's probably one of the big ones I hear about anyway, is provision. The big concern. You know, praise God. Do you know him as your provider today? Yeah. I don't care how dark things get. He's the same, isn't he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's the same now. And he's the same during the darkest of the last days. He's still the same. His word still doesn't pass away. The best thing you can do in preparing for the last days for provision is continuing to declare and confess and trust God as your provider. So Jesus wanted Philip to see, boy, I can take the most impossible looking situation and meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. I've got ability, I have resources that can be unleashed through faith. So it's your heart, isn't it? It's not about your pantry, whether you store up, don't store up, size of your pantry. You're trust God. Bottom line, I'm trusting God. Whatever comes of my way, I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus. And I'll do what he shows me to do. I'll be led, as many as are led by, not worry, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. How do I know if it's God? How do I know if it's God leading me to do that? I like three things. One of the things that happens when you get led by the Spirit of God, there is a tremendous peace that guides your heart. It just seems there's peace. Also, repetition. God will kind of bring things to your heart, and he'll bring things back to your heart multiple times, and then revelation. In other words, you're doing things. He'll show you purpose behind what he's leading you to do. That's Spirit-led stuff, okay? But when you do it, it's not something you attach your heart to. In fact, your trust is always in the Lord. I'm just doing what he shows me to do, right? It comes down to the motive of our heart. So, faith for the last days, faith for provision. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we will be singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Even if we're singing it while the bombs are flying, we'll sing it while the bombs are flying because it is great. And you are true. And you are good. And we are seeking you first now, and we will seek you first then. We'll continue to put you first. Our trust is in you, Lord. Where trust is in you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for being the same. Oh, yesterday, today, and forever. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. Trust. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Lord, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help, direction for our lives. As perilous times come, we declare in this place right now, you are our provider. You are our good shepherd. And as we seek you first, you add the things we need to us. It will always be that way. What Satan does in the earth doesn't change that. We don't worry about tomorrow because you're there too. And you're our good shepherd there too. We trust you, Jesus. Thank you for faith, for provision in the last days. Our heart is not hooked to our pantry. It will never be hooked to our pantry. It will only be hooked to you. What we have is your blessing, and we give you thanks for it. You're a faithful provider. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.